Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Doctors in Spain are going to start checking children for signs of mobile phone addiction once a year. This is under new government plans in Spain to improve safety online. I thought it was a really interesting idea. There was very little discussion about this. Was the elections maybe took precedent over the weekend? But Dr. Afifa Kafash is a paediatrician consultant at the Rotunda Hospital. Should we do something similar?
Short answer is no, I don't think so. I don't think it's something that we can actually capture easily. The concept of mobile phone addiction in children is something that is hard to capture. I mean, if you break it down to what they are proposing to do, they are proposing to screen children on a yearly basis. And they are then also then proposing to have these addiction centres that are set up to try and treat mobile phone addiction. And the amount of resources that are going into it are going to be huge. First of all, in the Irish healthcare system, we don't have regular encounters with paediatricians in the community. And that's a big issue that I think will impede embarking on something like that. And then setting up the resources to try and deal with an issue like this, if it does exist in the first place, we don't know whether it exists or not, will have problems in itself. I'm a firm believer in actually embracing the digital landscape and empowering parents with the tools to try and teach their children how to use digital media, social media, phones and screens in a constructive manner from the outset. This is something that is pervasive. It is something that is going to be here for the long run. So rather than actually restricting its use and isolating children from the use of social media, I think that we need to actually do it in a sensible way and maybe direct our resources to try and empower parents with the tools to try and learn the digital landscape and then guide their children on how to use it in a responsible manner.
Dr. Nicola Fox-Hamilton is an expert in cyber psychology. Do you agree with the thief, Nicola?
I absolutely agree with the thief. If you look at the overall body of evidence for something like phone addiction, mobile addiction, any of those kind of things, there's actually no evidence to support that being something. Some people and some kids have problematic use where they're using it so much that it interferes with other important aspects of their life. But most people aren't using it in that problematic way. And addiction should suggest something that has very clear symptoms, very clear interventions for how to deal with it. And we do not have any evidence for that. So I agree with Afif about, you know, this is something that is very, very resource heavy to implement. And you're implementing something that has no evidence behind it. Now, we know that kids have lots of mental health problems. And in Ireland, it's massively under-resourced and people cannot get help for their kids. And that's where we need to be putting the money and the funding rather than on something like this that sounds like an easy solution but actually isn't helpful at all and could cause greater problems than it solves.
What are the telltale signs, first of all, Nicola, sorry, actually, of smartphone addiction? Because, like, I know, you know, when I talk to parents here on the show and they'll say my child's addicted to the phone and they're never off it and, you know, different games and different shows and that they're watching. But what, yeah, like, how do you actually define smartphone addiction?
Well, there is no such thing as smartphone addiction, and it really depends. Like, if you think about the phone, it's not a singular thing. They might be talking to their friends, they might be on social media, they might be playing games, they might be learning stuff, they might be talking to their grandparents. There are a million things that we do on our smartphones, and to say that we're addicted to all of those things just because it comes through one device is really kind of pointless. Like, it's not a meaningful kind of construct. And so, yes, your kid might be overusing their phone in some way. So let's say your child is gaming. Now, just because they're doing something a lot doesn't mean it's a problem. We all do things that we enjoy a lot. So, like, if you're binge watching a Netflix series at the weekend, no one's going to say that you're addicted to Netflix and pathologize it. So the fact that a kid is gaming, maybe with their friends, having a really nice time, enjoying it, and if it's not impacting on their schoolwork, if it's not impacting on their family relationships in a really negative way, and if they're still getting exercise and using it in a kind of a moderate way alongside all the other things in their life, that's not a problem at all, even if they're doing it for a few hours a day. The problem is when something is impacting on the other important areas. So if they refuse to go outside and play at all, they're not getting any exercise. If they are doing it well into the middle of the night where it's really impacting on their school results and their ability to concentrate, that's problematic use. But that's something that really needs to be dealt with, for the most part, with boundaries. That's not necessarily something that's clinical. What we often see when someone has very problematic use is that it appears alongside something like depression or anxiety or another mental health problem. And it's actually more likely to be a symptom of those problems than the cause of them or an actual pathology in and of itself. And so the underlying mental health conditions are the things that maybe need to be dealt with, and that's where we need the funding, rather than focusing on the phones. The phones, we have absolutely no solid evidence to suggest that phones are causing mental health problems at all.
Noel is with me on the line today. Noel, you've been listening to Dr. Afif and Nicola Hamilton. You're a dad. What's your thoughts on this? Would you like to see...
Well, I suppose, look, it comes down to this, and I'm a grandfather as well, and it comes down to, you know, what boundaries do you set? I'd agree with the two previous speakers. The mobile phone is here to stay. It's part of our lives. It's part of the technology we make use of on a daily basis. And it's a very useful tool. But as a kid is growing up, if the mobile phone is depriving them of the opportunity to socialise, to engage with others outside, well, then a parent needs to set boundaries. Like, I'll give you an example. I was in a restaurant the other night. I was in a restaurant last Sunday, and I saw one family there, numerous families, but one family stood out in particular. There was three kids at the table, all under six, and the parents... And everybody had a device in front of them while they were waiting for their meal to be brought to them. Now, what message are the adults sending out to the kids there? Meal time is not a time to talk to each other. It's a time to engage with your device. Equally, I was an ex-teacher, and I used to get other teachers complaining. Some of the kids are really tired. When I was a year ahead, you bring it up with the parents. Oh, yeah, they're on their Facebook or whatever when they go to bed at night. I mean, again, it's about having boundaries. Do you set a boundary and say, look, mobile phone devices are not being used at the meal. They're not being used when we go to the room to relax or whatever, the bedroom. There are certain zones free of the mobile phone. Because it's about etiquette. I mean, if I'm talking to you and the next thing my phone rings and I stop my conversation with you and continue on the phone, you will feel rather insulted. So I think there's a whole etiquette need to be taught around that. But I slightly disagree with the previous speaker. It certainly has an effect in schools on mental health. It can be often a tool used for bullying, because unlike the old days, bullying, if you got home, you might have been in a safe zone. But now the text messages and other stuff keep coming on the phone to you. Also, the algorithms track what you're using it for. So suddenly, if you show an interest in your figure and your size and your weight and that, you can be targeted to lose weight and a whole lot of stuff. And for teenagers who are very body conscious, that can create a whole lot of health problems as well.
Can I just bring Nicola back in, if you don't mind, Noel, just on that point? Like, I think that is a real concern, Nicola, for a lot of people, is that, you know, that the bullying continues at home, and that does affect teenagers and children's mental health.
Yeah, that actually is probably the most serious problem or prevalent problem for young people is cyberbullying. So it's not the phone use itself, but the cyberbullying through the phone that's a problem.
But the phone facilitates it, I suppose.
It does, yeah. But also parents sometimes react to that by taking the phone away, which also takes away their kids' social support network of friends who they're talking to that might be helping them through it. So you have to be careful about saying, blaming everything on the phone. It's something happening through the phone, but that doesn't mean everything on the phone is bad as well.
Do you know, it's remarkable, Afif, the reaction from listeners here today on WhatsApp, who actually would have thought this was a really good idea, that they nearly see Spain sort of being proactive, you know, and in a way to try and cut down on phone times and the potential for bullying. And, you know, and yet yourself and Nicola don't see it as such a good idea.
I really think...
With all due respects, I mean, parents need to be parents. They're the ones that define the boundary and limits of phone use and what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. And it's not rocket science, a lot of it, to say, look, when you go to bed, you go to bed to rest. You're not getting the phone to stay on all night on the phone until 3 or 4 in the morning. As we had the experience of some kids texting back and forth or WhatsApping or Facebooking or Instagram or whatever. you know, like a parent, I think, especially for a child growing up, and I'm talking about young children as they grow up, some primary schools have already decided, look, for the sake of kids in school, we're not going to allow them to use phones in primary schools. And parents often get up in a knot saying, I won't be able to contact my kid, for God's sake. We've lived pre-mobile phones. Remember, mobile phones in people's possession is only about since 2000. Mass possession is only about since 2007. How did parents and how did
they manage before that? Hang on a second, Dr. Fief, you want to come in on that? Like, the Spanish not being proactive.
I think if you really want to be proactive, then you need to take it several steps backwards, where you actually empower parents into active mediation with phone use and their children. And I think Noel has put up a lot of good points in that we need to actually teach parents how to teach children how to use mobile phones sensibly so that you don't end up with problems down the line. This screening system is acknowledging that there is a problem, yet it's not going to the root cause of, you know, the potential causes of the problem is us not actually monitoring our children's mobile phone use, not empowering them with the tools to be able to navigate the social network platforms and what they see on social media in a correct and an accurate way. We can't control what's on the social media platform, but what we can control is the children's ability to navigate it, come to us, talk to us in an open and constructive way.
Listener says, I'd love some help trying to cut down my child's screen time, and I do think that a yearly checkup actually could help. My teenager has terrible posture, and I swear it's from looking down at the phone.
And again, if you were empowered with the tools to actually promote healthy use of social media from the outset, then we can avoid these issues down the line. Yes, there is a problem now, but I think bringing it back to actually active interaction between parents and children, fostering active mediation where you can discuss social media content with the child, answering the child's questions, explaining media content, clarifying what is appropriate or not, and encouraging the child to use social media in a constructive way, and also setting rules and boundaries. That's our role as parents.
Yeah, listener here says, my nephews are addicted to their phones. They don't know how to socialise and actually get very anxious if they're somewhere without their phone. They then throw tantrums if the phones are taken off them. Like, is that the definition, Nicola, of phone addiction?
It's not really, because there is literally no such thing as phone addiction. Like, as a clinical phenomenon, there isn't. What that may be is kids not understanding, you know, when and how they're able to use it. That's parents maybe not setting boundaries around it. Kids throwing tantrums is often being told to do something without any explanation for it, or being told to do it last minute when they're in the middle of something, which we wouldn't like either. So I think, as like Afif said, having a conversation around kids about what's appropriate, setting boundaries. Parents will often have a kind of a digital contract within the family, not just for the kids, about everyone's phone use. And I think that can be a really good place to start. But it is really about having conversations with your kids from very young to well into their teenager years about what's appropriate, how to use it, how to deal with certain things.
Yeah, it's quite, you know, it is quite detailed what they're doing at FIFA in Spain. They're going to create these special centres. They'll treat mobile addiction and related pathologies in young people. Doctors are going to check children for signs of mobile addiction once a year. And then as well, paediatricians. So the likes of yourself, Afif, you know, if you were in Spain now, you'll be trained to identify symptoms of children spending excessive amounts of time on their screens when you see children during these kind of, you know, annual health checkups for vaccinations and that kind of stuff.
And I think, you know, if you look at it from a superficial sense, I won't be able to, in a small encounter with a child, learn why they are spending a lot of time on their screen, right? You know, there are different types of social media consumption. You may be using it actively to learn a new skill or, you know, do some schoolwork. Communicate with your friends. Most teenagers now, early teens, their communication is done mostly via their mobile phone and their screens. They learn from their mobile phone and their screens. And then you need to distinguish that from people that are just consuming social media, following people they shouldn't be following, watching hours and hours on end of, you know, social media content. So trying to actually distinguish this. And again, as I said, there are no community paediatricians in Ireland. So who's going to actually
do this job? Yes, a whole other issue. Listener says it's completely down to the parents. We have a rule in our house with our 25 and 13 year olds. No phone at bedtime or in the bedroom. The phone stays downstairs. Another listener says everything needs to be labelled now or a medical condition. Just take the bloody phone off the child. You think it's down to the parents, Noel?
Yeah, I do. But I also think, bear in mind, think of it instead of the word addiction, think of what is commanding a child's attention or even adults' attention. Just watch any group of people when the phone beeps. They get it out of their pocket, or if it vibrates, they get it out of their pocket. They look. The companies, the technology companies, have designed them in such a way that they keep capturing your attention. How many even adults have gone onto the phone to check something, intending only to spend 5 minutes or an hour later?
You can't get off it. I know.
Scrolling through stuff.
Yeah, Dexter, I'd love if they brought something like this in Ireland. I'm a primary teacher and notice a huge shift in children on their phones, but the parents think it's our problem to solve. And finally, this listener says it's completely down to the parents, not the medics, to deal with children on their phones. It's often used as an easy babysitter. Keep them coming into us. 087 1400 106. That is the number. My thanks to Noel there for getting in touch. Also, Dr. Afif Al-Kafash, who's a paediatrician consultant at the Rotunda Hospital, and Dr. Nicola Fox-Hamilton, who's an expert in cyber psychology.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.